in this palace of populism for the 10th annual Bob-a-palooza that we're celebrating here. The best political party in America happens right here in Madison, Wisconsin every year, Bobfest. And what a joy it is for me to wallow in the feisty Fighting Bob spirit of you Wisconsin champions of common sense and the common good, you right-wing butt-kickers, you corporate greed-whackers. Thank you, Wisconsin. From all over the country, I hear it. Thank you, Wisconsin, for rushing to the front lines this year to push back those greed heads and boneheads who are waging an all-out multi-billion dollar war on America's middle class, but most importantly, a war on America itself, a war on our egalitarian ideals, our values of social justice, economic fairness, equal opportunity for all people. That's what we stand for as a nation, and that's what they're trying to undo. Let's call it for what it is. You are fighting for the very essence of America, and from somewhere on high, I believe that Fighting Bob La Follette himself is raising his fist as he does on this button here that you have. Might be a little hard for you in the back rows to see it, but there it is. Trust me. Raising his fist and thundering with joy as you organize, strategize, harmonize, and mobilize to reject the bankers and bosses, the big shots, bastards, and bullshitters who are wanting to run roughshod over America, run roughshod over our values, trying to impose their Coke-funded plutocracy over our democracy. I come to you today not just from Austin, Texas, but from South Austin. There is a difference in attitude. On the South side, our unofficial slogan is, "We're all here because we're not all there." Well, we're all here in Madison, just as democracy fighters are gathered, by the way, day after day in Ohio, in Michigan, Maine, California, Texas. The people of America are revolting in the very best sense of that word. Revolting because our society is not where it must be if America is ever to achieve its historic potential, its democratic promise. What's happening now that you're at the center of is a continuum in the very long struggle. Benjamin Franklin said it at the start of this little democratic experiment we have going in this country. He said, "The destiny of America is not power, it's light." Light. And the light that he meant was fairness, justice, opportunity for all. That's what makes America important. The problem is, of course, we got too many 5-watt bulbs sitting in 100-watt sockets in this country. And of course, you are face to face with one of the dimmest bulbs, and Scott Walker. Good grief, Wisconsin. I mean, is it even possible that you would have a worse governor than we Texans have? Think about it. Our great friend Molly Ivins, in one of her last columns, yes. In one of her last columns, just at the tail end of the Bush regime, she said, "Next time I tell y'all that someone from Texas should not be president of the United States, pay attention." So let me be Molly's surrogate here this afternoon. Rick Perry. He's Michelle Bachmann with better hair. That's all I can really say. And actually, he's George W. Bush without the intellect, but that's another story. So pay attention, because the media mostly is not paying attention. They're looking at his strut, you know, not paying attention to who he actually is, and he's flitting all around the country, spreading little fairy tales about the miracles that he has worked in Texas. One of them, he says, is jobs. Jobs, he crows, like a banty rooster who thinks his cock-a-doodle-doo is what brings the sun up in the morning, you know. Jobs, he says, I've created a million jobs in Texas. But of course, the issue is not jobs, is it? Slaves had jobs. The issue is income, wages, middle-class possibilities. You could go anywhere in Texas and go into a restaurant or bar and say to a waitress, did you know Rick Perry's created a million jobs since he's been governor? And she'd say, yeah, I know, I have three of them. That's not a miracle. More minimum wage jobs have been created under Rick Perry than all other states combined. More minimum wage jobs that he has created than all other states combined. We're number one now, tied with Mississippi in the number of in the ratio of minimum wage jobs. Mississippi is a poor state. Texas is a rich state. We have no excuse for this, yet that's the miracle he wants you to promote to the presidency. We're number one in the nation in the number of people in poverty, not by accident. We're number one among states whose children have no health insurance. Perry's idea of health care is Tylenol. We have to do a little better than that. I mean, this guy has put the goober in gubernatorial, let me tell you. And now he wants to raise that to a high level. By the way, in August, I was up in Maine, going down Route 1, came through Belfast, Maine, and there was a big building on the side of the road in that little town, and it was Perry's Nut House. I thought he's opened his campaign headquarters right here in Maine. Perry's Nut House. And I stopped and had to go in, of course, and got this brochure, and there it is. Got a big elephant on the front of this brochure. It says, Perry's Nut House, nuts, curiosities, and fudge. That pretty well says it. You can't make this up, you know. I mean, it's out there. You know, the right-wing ignorance and arrogance is hard to fathom, but it's not hard to find, is it? Perry, Walker, Kasich over here in Ohio, John Boehner, Eric Cantor, pushing policies of tinkle-down economics, that deliberately knocks down the middle class and the poor, and that's why they're going after unions with a vengeance. With a union, regular people have a fighting chance. They've got a little bit of power. But without collective bargaining, you're reduced to collective begging. And that's not America. So right-wing billionaires, the Kochs, the heirs to the Amway fortune, the heirs to Walmart, the heirs to Coors, they're putting up billions of dollars to demonize school teachers and firefighters, all other unionized employees as greedy slugs who are ruining America. Let me tell you a little story about unions. You know part of the story. A couple of years ago, that plane went down in New York City, landed in the Hudson River. It had taken off and sucked some geese into both engines. They went dead. Pilot had to land in the Hudson River. Sully Sullenberger was the name of that pilot, and the media went crazy. That's right. And they all acknowledged, Sully Sullenberger, he's heroic, terrific. What they didn't tell you was that Sully Sullenberger was a union man. He was not just a member of the Airline Pilots Association. He served on its national governing committee. He was APA's former safety chairman. He was trained to do what happened that day. And he and his union had been having, at that time, to fight the airline, US Air in this case, because the airline were trying to take away the safety training of the pilots. He had suffered a 40% cut in his pay, by the way, in the previous 5 or 6 years, and they had taken his health care away. He and his union have had to fight the airline chieftains. But also, Sully Sullenberger was not alone on that plane. There were the flight attendants, very professional people who moved calmly, all of those people, 150 people, out of that plane, all of them members of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, union members, trained to do what they did. Those ferry crews that instantly came to the rescue, moving those big ferries within 4 inches of the wings of that plane so the people could just step off on them. All of them members of the Seafarers International Union. Union people. The cops, the firefighters, the air controllers who worked on that rescue, all of them union members. So remember that Flight 1549 was not just a miracle on the Hudson, it was a union-made miracle on the Hudson. That's what it means to be a union. Well, here we are. Even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked, you know? We're being kicked. And that's the truth of it. And we need to be blunt about this with our colleagues and friends and people we just meet as strangers. I mean, we just need to be truthful about what's going on in this society. And this is not going to be fixed by Barack Obama, not going to be fixed by Democrats in Congress. I mean, let's be honest about it now. It's not just the Republicans, you know. Some of our Democrats are as confused as goats on AstroTurf when it comes to understanding what their job is. Yesterday in the New York Times, flying up here, I was reading the New York Times, said Obama's jobs bill is in trouble, not just because Republicans oppose it, but some Democrats are opposing it because they're afraid that it might be too strong. I mean, they're weaker than Canadian hot sauce, by the way. I mean, come on. Somebody told me, well, Hightower, Canadians don't have hot sauce. And I said, yes, they do. It's called mayonnaise. I love Canadians. Well, my message to you, and I'm sure you're wondering what it is, is this. It's up to us, you and me. Always has been in this country. It's always been up to the grassroots agitators who go into the face of power. And not just speaking truth to power, but speaking truth about power. That's what we have to do. And when they say to you, well, as your governor did, and the Fitzgerald boys and some of the right-wing media and everything saying, well, it's just a bunch of agitators that are stirring it up there in Wisconsin. Well, you know, the agitator, that's that center post in the washing machine that gets the dirt out. We could use a whole lot more of that, couldn't we? Be the agitator. Be the agitator. The majority of the people of this country agree with you on just about every progressive thought that you hold within you. The average American people are with you on that. And plus, you've got the agitating attitude that has defined every progressive movement in American history. And I saw it when I spoke in March at the Capitol here, that wonderful rally of 100,000 more people. And this wonderful handmade sign was there. And it said, you screw us, we reproduce, you know? So. That's what Bob Fest represents to me, is that attitude, but also Bob Fest pulls us together, connects us to make the whole of our individual efforts bigger than the sum of its parts. And that's important for us to move toward now. It's not enough to have good progressive groups here and there. We got to come together in ways that make us bigger than we otherwise would be. I think of Bob Fest in terms of a little hardware store near my house in South Austin. It's not one of these big box things. It's not bigger than this section right down here as a hardware store, but it's a wonderful place because you don't have to buy, for example, the whole box of nails. They'll sell you two nails if that's what you need, you know. And they'll say, well, what are you trying to do? Well, I'm wanting to build a table like this, something like this. And they say, well, let's pencil it out, and we'll see what you need. And they'll loan you a tool. You can take a tool home and bring it back. It's called Harold's Hardware. And the slogan at Harold's is, together, We can do it yourself. That's got to be our slogan, doesn't it? Together. We can't do it ourselves, but together we can do it. And we are doing it. We're building all across this country. You know, it's not just here in Madison. Last weekend, I was in Orange County, California, from which sprang the John Birch Society, considered the most right-wing area of California and one of the most right-wing areas in the country until recently, because things have changed. People have been organizing. Loretta Sanchez, a Democrat, is now the member of Congress from Orange County. Irvine has a progressive majority on the city council. And I was there because they had a progressive coalition meeting, 50 different groups in Orange County coming together to be bigger than the sum of their parts. I was at another session just like that just a few months ago in Sugar Land, Texas. That's the home of Tom DeLay. I'm going next week to Fresno, California, week after next to Fresno, California. Same thing, progressive coalition. People are coming together and building. And that's what we have to do. We've got to, and Mary Batari and a number of good folks from here are teaming up with us. Jay Harris is here, former publisher of Mother Jones, and we're getting the progressive media in this country for the first time ever to focus together on an issue. And we're going to do that the week of October 23rd, and Nation Magazine's going to do a whole issue on it. My Hightower Lowdown will do it. We've got Laura Flanders, Tom Hartman, you know, on and on. We'll have the independent weekly newspapers. We'll have the community radio stations will be participating in this. We'll have Free Speech TV, and we'll try to have the MSNBC hosts and everything being a part of it. Nichols will be a part of it. And we're going to not just, and the issue we're going to focus on is the rise of corporate power, and specifically repealing Citizen United decision by the Supreme Court so we can take power back. And not only are we going to report on it, cover it, so that instead of just, here's a story over there about it, and next week here's one over there, but all together at one time so that there's an echo chamber effect on our side, that people begin to say, well, something's going on here because I heard it on the radio, and then I saw it on TV, and I'm reading about it right here. So people are aware of it, but more importantly even than that, we're all going to try to connect that knowledge to local action, because there's groups like Move On, Public Citizen, like the PURGs, groups like Move to Amend, and also Free Speech for People, and all kinds of different groups are teaming up together in this, so we get action. Washington's not going to touch that issue. The Republicans, of course, love that court decision, enthroning corporate money in our politics. Democrats don't like it, but they're going along with it. They're not lifting a finger to fight it. So we can't let our democracy be stolen by five thugs on the Supreme Court. We've got to assert ourselves from a grassroots level and raise this up to where they have to do something about it. It's up to us. So let's team together on this. I've been talking to Ed about it and all you great Bob Festers, and maybe we can do a little caravan or something, put it on the road. Keep working the grassroots. That's my message to you, because the power is there and because folks are waiting on us. They want what it is that you represent. They want to be organized to literally take the country back from the corporate thugs that have stolen it from us. I'll tell you a quick story. It's out of Vermont, and I was noticed a guy up there, I think it was 2004, that he was running for U.S. Senate. His name was Fred Tuttle. Nobody had ever heard of him. And he didn't even want to run for the U.S. Senate. He's a Republican. He's a dairy farmer there. But a guy from Massachusetts, a multimillionaire, came in to Vermont and said, I'm going to take the U.S. Senate seat here. I'm going to spend my money and get myself elected. He's from Massachusetts. He moved in with a vacation home in Vermont and said, now I'll run for U.S. Senate. So this pissed off Fred. He said, well, you know, who's this guy to come in here and try to take our Senate seat away. He said, nobody will run against him. Well, I will. And, of course, Fred had no money. He had no organization. He had no ability to run for U.S. Senate, but he did something interesting. He campaigned around the state on a manure spreader. And it led to the greatest bumper sticker I've ever seen. It said, "Spread Fred." And he won. He defeated the multimillionaire. So we have got to spread Bob Vest across this state and then spread it from this state out to every state in the country. This is how democracy works, by bringing people together so that we can work together and get to know each other. And then we take actions here and there. You've got a big one coming up. Send Tammy Baldwin to the U.S. Senate. Give Bernie Sanders the help that he needs. There are going to be some other great races. Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts running for the U.S. Senate. Mainly just persevere. Keep pushing. You're doing the right thing. Just do more of it. I'll leave you with this thought. It's from my old Aunt Eula, died at 90 years of age. She was a farmer up in northeast Texas. And back when I was a boy, something big had happened over in Fannin County where she lived. And that what had happened was the New Deal. It had brought electricity into that county for the first time ever. So my aunt was able to do something she had long awaited. That was to be able to put a pump in the creek outside of her home and move water inside her house. So we had running water in the house for the first time ever. And one day I was there, I was a little boy, and there was a problem, because the water coming out of the faucet in the sink was all murky, and the men were standing around kind of scratching their butts, saying, well, I don't know, what do you think's the problem here? And my aunt turned to me and she said, Jim, the water won't ever clear up till we get the hogs out of the creek. Now, right there's our problem, isn't it? The hogs are in the creek. We got to get them out of the creek. Put your shoulders to them. Shove the hogs out of the creek. Thank you very much, Bob Fest. Thank you, Wisconsin, for what you're doing.